It's not complicated. Call it creative. Call it art. Call it design. It's the Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
This is where this is going, Nancy.
Oh, I know.
You know where this is going.
I know where it's going.
Oh my gosh. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano, and happy Father's Day, everybody. And happy Father's Day to my dad, Vince.
Mm-hmm.
So great. Taught me everything I needed to know, wanted to know, and didn't really want to know. Right?
Like that's everything. What they do.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
But I needed.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So great. Listen, I want to talk about how you been, kid? How's your remodel coming? I meant to ask you.
Well, the plumber came on Friday.
Okay.
So we got that to look forward to. That work. We did.
So you're in the rough mechanical stage.
I am in the rough mechanical stage.
Electrical and plumbing.
If I can get the electrical and plumbing just in the upstairs bathroom done.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then my husband and I can like finish that bathroom fairly quickly because the tub is already there because it's a clawfoot tub.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so installing like that shower head and all those kinds of things are fairly easy. And then the, you know, drywall it and all of that. So really the only thing is going in there is the toilet and the vanity. Okay. And so that will not be tough for us to do.
It'll accelerate after that.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and
that's,
so
that's exciting.
If we can get that done,
yeah,
we will move. Or I will move anyway. I mean,
I think that's the,
have to
that
assume
is the,
time
that is the part of the process people don't understand. It
right.
Definitely it slows down to speed up.
Right.
Because you've got to get stuff correct behind the wall.
Right.
Or else you got bigger problems.
Right. And we moved some of the electrical around and
how old is the house again?
140 years.
Oh my gosh. Did you encounter any of like the weird cloth wiring that you needed to like pull out? Like or had it been updated?
Some of it has been updated. Some of it has not. Mm. Some of it is still pipe and tube.
Oh.
However, it is, as we can look in the walls and places and we can see the condition of it and all of that.
When you opened up the walls, did you find any like old feather insulation and any of that stuff?
No, because this house is brick, it's actually, and then, you know, the original part of the house is still lath and plaster.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Which makes demo very fun.
Yeah, and heavy.
Oh,
because your dumpsters aren't filled with drywall.
And sharp as you rip the lath off, off of the
so,
2x4s.
The front part
Sorry, welcome to Builder's Morning here on the Design Coach.
So because it's brick, and then there was another layer of brick on the inside, so it's double bricked.
Wow.
And then you have the lathe and plaster, which if you understand, the lathe part is strips
are you
of wood
sure, are
with
you
concrete
sure you didn't just move
them?
Into a bomb shelter?
I don't care.
Are you
whatever.
Positive? Are you sure?
Well, I mean, it's got
Did
a
you
good
look for
basement,
air holes
too.
And like a secondary escape shaft?
Well, actually, I should kind of maybe double check for
anyway,
that. But
anyway, these days, bomb shelter
need,
didn't sound like too bad of an idea.
Right. It doesn't need the insulation. Like, it's amazingly warm without insulation. So there were a couple of outside walls that were in the add-on part that were insulated, but it doesn't need it. I mean, we bought it back in January and it was cold. And,
oh my God, that's so good to hear.
It was, yeah. So
well,
if we can just
posted,
get that
have,
one part done.
You have to keep us posted on that.
Yeah.
I know. Well, listen, this is a decent segue into the topic today, obviously, for Father's Day. I wanted to, listen, I think dads get a raw deal. I got to be honest. I think dads get a raw deal in design. All right, I got to be honest. I'm just going to come out and say it.
What do they need?
Listen, it's no secret that this is predominantly, you know, the design of a home or the design of a space, you know, for the most part has a tendency to be, you know, maybe not always driven by the dad. Okay.
Right.
Okay, at least on the aesthetic. I mean, I know how that sounds. It's true.
I choose to make all my plans when Ty's out of town.
It's true. But, you know, listen, I just did a show, I don't know what, 2 shows ago about designing for couples.
Right.
Where it's very important for, you know, both people who are going to be living in the space and interacting in the space and creating moments and memories in the space to actually have input into the design of it. But on today's show, you know, listen, with all the talk of the she sheds and the, you know, the mom, you know, now it's like the getaway rooms for, you know, moms, I, you know, dads need that too. Okay. Just, I got to be honest with you. Dad deserves a space. Maybe he can call his own. Okay. And off air, you were saying, isn't that the garage? No, we can do better than just isolating dad to the garage.
I'm only basing that off of my own experience with my mechanic slash, you know, construction selling husband who would prefer to be in the garage.
And I don't mean, and listen, I obviously want, I obviously want interiors for my clients to be absolutely a collaborative effort and outcome. Marrying, both sides of the partnership psyche, right? Like I want that synergy in all of the spaces where it aesthetically, visually, functionally, stylistically is a reflection of, both inhabitants and the family equally. I think that's important for spaces to feel personal.
Sure.
And have them be, reflective of the people who a reflection of the people who live in them and use them and enjoy them. But sometimes you just need to be on your own. Sometimes you just need a space where you can quiet yourself and your mind.
Right.
And settle. And I don't know that, especially with the obvious, popularity in recent years of the open floor plans. And then subsequently, the COVID experience we all went through.
Right.
Being around everybody all the time can be a little bit of a, sometimes you just need your own time.
Okay, but that's the case for everybody in the family.
Yeah, but I don't know that. I don't know.
I think
dads get the short end of the stick there,
Nancy.
Dads
don't get their safe space.
I don't. Yeah, you know what? Keep them from blowing out.
Right.
From running the engine too hot or whatever it is. I feel like it's interesting because I'm gonna navigate this just from my perspective. And listen, Julie has absolutely given me total and complete leeway on my bar downstairs. I understand the eventual trade-off that's coming with that on the kitchen, right? Like, I understand that, like, that's her passion. Like, her passion is cooking, and it is her offering. It is actually her creative gift. It really is, and it's a true gift. She's so good at it, mm-hmm. And whereas mine is apparently making cocktails, to then maybe accompany that experience. But
I think it's adorable.
I have my man space in the bar. Right. I really do.
Well, I think it's adorable that you call it a trade-off because she would get that kitchen no matter what, whether you had your man space or not. So,
you're probably right.
Yes, I'm right.
I'm not. Yeah. After 27, 8 years of marriage, right? And more than that, being together,
you've just learned to nod and smile.
You know how to navigate. And I've come to appreciate that level of balance and synergy that we tend to eventually come to a level set on, right? I think that's...
Can I just say, though, for a second, sure. In my own defense?
Okay.
My husband in this house is actually going to have three areas.
What?
The garage.
I'm shocked by this.
Yes. The garage... The room
Why
that
the
is
garage
a,
is no
he wants that no that he wants it
he of course he wants it because it's all he's being offered
but like, it also what, has to be com- it also him? Has to be like completely redone on the like it's a mess so I mean we have to spend time and money on it to even get it to being a garage. It doesn't have a door right now.
I know, but think about that for a minute. If I said to you your she shed's gonna have all the cars in it,
mm-hmm.
You'd be like, no way. You're not parking anything on my she shed.
Oh, I'm not allowed to park in the garage.
It's okay.
Oh, no. Right? No. I have never been allowed to park inside, ever, okay. In a garage that we've had, ever.
So is it really a garage?
I don't know. Not really. It's a he shed because he'll do whatever he wants in it.
So what's going to go in this he shed?
I don't know. I don't care. Oh. Tools? Don't care. I will never have to be in there. Don't care. But then he's also getting this library / bar kind of area.
Okay.
Right?
Is that in the house?
Yes. It's in the backyard.
Well, listen, I don't rule anything out.
Right. It's on the front porch. No, it's in the house. And then we have this third story upstairs that's the attic that's refinished. And he is going to be allowed to put, he has a huge model train set.
Okay.
Like it is a
that's cool.
huge collection. And he's going to be able to take all of that stuff and make a train layout and everything with all of that stuff again. He hasn't been able to do that for quite a long time. We had it before. And so he gets three areas of the home.
Mm-hmm.
In my defense. So I joke about it, but...
Actually, that's great. I think that that's absolutely...
We have thought ahead. Yes.
I think that's absolutely the way that you have to think about it. And what struck me about what you said was the hobby piece.
Right.
Because I have been, over 25 years of doing this, I have been in some really awkward situations where... you'll get into conversations in design where, you know, they get kind of vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people start talking about what they want and what their aspirations are and maybe where they haven't had things that they've wanted or experiences that they've wanted to create or have that their homes didn't allow them to.
Right.
And the deficit in their lives that's left them with, and that they're hoping that in this new project that, you know, they're looking to take on.
Right.
Will be alleviated. And that they'll finally be able to craft sort of their definition of home the way
sure.
that they see it, which is something that we are absolutely 100%, like that's baked into everything we do at the Design Coach. But when they get vulnerable, it is very, it's been very awkward and somewhat interesting, I'm not going to lie, to see, you know, the attacking. And it's on both sides.
Oh, sure.
You know, the right. comments like, why do you need that? You know, we don't need that. Like, what do you mean we? It's not a we ask. It's a me ask.
We had that over a double sink in the bathroom.
No, I understand.
You don't need a double sink.
This is why I'm bringing this up, because I think no one's talking about it. And it's, you know, we talk all the time about the beauty of design. We talk about the finished interiors and the great outcomes. But we don't talk about how to navigate the struggle.
Right.
Of
right.
creating it together. And this show needs to, you know, I feel like this show's always been a little bit of a, I don't know, a little bit of a, you know, pull the curtain back mm-hmm. a little bit. To
behind
sort of
the
have,
scenes.
And
yeah.
also to have the discussions that I think I really want you to have substantively, not just from a stylistic perspective, but from a functional perspective. And really, sometimes it's a collection of me and you that create the we.
Right.
In other words, this is... something I will use primarily, and this is something I know you will use primarily, and let's try to find a way to fit both.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's absolutely the way that we should be thinking about that is the trade-offs within a room as it relates to function and style and what everybody wants out of it and in it. But when it comes to these special spaces, which I think are essential for the home, I do believe that you need a space to quiet your mind.
I think they're potentially important for the marriage.
I do too. It's really? Also why I do like in bedrooms when, you know, kids have a desk.
Right.
You know, a place where they can go to the bedroom and they can sit at the desk and they can just sort of think and they're not, you know what I'm saying? Like I do believe that you need at least an area, you know, where you can go to retreat. So when we come back from the break, I want to talk about how I think dads are getting the short end of the stick, okay, as it relates to these special spaces that they can call their own. This is a tribute to Design for Dads. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. I have a great team.
I just said every single week when we're sitting here, something happens and you say, oh my gosh, look what they've done now. It's awesome. Look at this great thing. Oh my gosh, they work together so well. Every single week you say that about them.
I know. And they do drive me crazy too.
Well, they're supposed to.
They drive me crazy. And I'm learning. It's funny. I'm doing a lot. Well, I feel like we're so ready for some really big things, and that's really exciting. And that's not the topic of today's show, so I'm going to probably have to table that. But today, we're talking about the big ideas that it relates to design for dads. Because I do believe that in the design space, my overarching sense is that a lot of times, sometimes the dads just get the short end of the stick.
They're very passive.
Yeah, listen, sometimes, you know what I mean? And listen, I think in every family, you've got the peacemaker and then you've got the driver, you know, like I think that, and then I think over time, you know, like you learn to be a little bit of both. You know, I know that that's happened in my marriage. You know, we've learned to be a little bit of both.
Well, somebody's got to be the good cop, bad cop at times, right?
Yeah, so I think Julie and I have definitely, we're really good at that. Like, we're really good at a unified strategy mm-hmm. and understanding the roles we need to play, mm-hmm. Both with each other and I think with our families. But the one thing that we're excited about doing right now is obviously we're in the midst of this pretty big remodel that right. we're about to embark on, and I'm really excited for us and for Julie, because she's going to get to be able to craft a space that she can call her own to mm-hmm. a certain extent. And I think you're right. I think, you know, there is a little bit of that, like, you know, sometimes there's the check down, right? Where I'll sacrifice and live with less, right? So that somebody can have more. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a beautiful trait and it's a wonderful sentiment, but it also sometimes, I don't know, I feel like in so many of the homes that we design where rooms go unused, I feel like it's just such a shame sometimes that they, you know, we can't reinvent them into being something really, really usable.
Right.
That, you know, might actually enrich us in a way. And sometimes that enrichment comes from the retreat. And what's sometimes sad is that the retreat is that if you're at home and you don't feel like you can do it there, you seek that externally.
Right.
And that's sad. You know, if your home doesn't feel like you can decompress and be invigorated there, mm-hmm. not just recharge, but also, you know, be inspired, I don't think you're doing it right.
You should look forward to going home.
I don't think you're doing it right.
Right.
And so, and I know that there are always going to be components of your home that you love and you don't love, right? I mean, in a way, it's awesome that you're sort of always a little, like, I always like projects, so I like working on it. I don't know that I'm ever going to call any home that I'm ever in complete.
Sure. Well, that's your mind, because you always are finding new and relevant
yeah, 100%.
Things, and you want to try them
me.
And everything.
I know that
and,
that's just me.
Right.
But I also...
But a lot of us can say...
yeah. But there is room in the home for the continued journey.
Of course.
And one of the continued journeys that I want to talk about that you did mention that I think is a big trigger for Design for Dads is this concept of the reinvigoration of a hobby. Mm-hmm. You know, when I talked in the last segment about the awkward moments with clients where one of the clients will get vulnerable about, like, you know, I lost touch with this part of me. Could be music, could be something that they used to do. They used to be in a band and maybe they had to give that up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe
kids.
What?
I said kids.
You know what I'm saying? But you had to just give it up, right? In a way, so much of my psyche has been, and I know a lot of guys feel the same way, since we are talking about dads. You know, they feel like the passions of their youth, you have to, at some point you grow up and you give some of those up. And some of those things are really important to you at your core. You know?
Right.
You know, and then you grow up and then you try to sort of reinvigorate maybe your love of that, and then you get the haters. You know, why are you spending money on that? Or why we don't need that? Or why is that important to you anymore? Like, grow up. Like, there's all of those types of things that tend to eat away at your enthusiasm and your passion that are I think are essential.
Right.
To I don't know, just essential to remembering who you are and how you were built.
And your well-being.
And and all of that plays into your well-being. So I think that having a space for that, I think, is actually important. I'm going to give you an example, and I'm going to use the artist side of me first. Wherever I lived, whether it was at a parent's home when I was growing up or wherever I was, and this is in my origin story on my website. It's my corner of the universe. And yeah, for those of you who don't know my story, I grew up in a basement bedroom with my other three brothers, and we each had a corner. And it was one room and we all had a corner. And I just decided, because I was artistically inclined, that I would create and decorate my corner with all of my passions, whether it was space or science or, you know, model right. airplane building or whatever it was that I enjoyed. I actually wanted to display it, and maybe as some sort of, like, you know, I don't know, temporary, just sort of like setting.
You
to maybe make me
yourself.
Think I had my own space, right?
Right.
Like I wanted to have it feel like my own space. And I feel like there is something inherent in all of us that wants to be able to create our own space. Maybe it's because we feel be more peaceful there. Maybe mm-hmm. it's because we have a sense of control. Maybe it's because we, you know what I mean? I feel like that is very innate, very personal, and very vulnerable space. And I feel like when we start to collaborate on design in the concept of a home for a family or, you know, your spouse or your couple, sometimes a lot of that gets jumbled and mixed. And it's always important for you to return to it.
Right. Like, go at it in the beginning, knowing it, because even if you don't have a space like that, it seems to me like it would be cathartic to plan it, knowing that, okay, when this is all said and done, I'm going to have this space, whether it's the husband, the wife, the mom, dad, whoever, I'm going to have this space that I never had before mm-hmm. and be able to surround myself with the peace and the quiet and whatever I want.
And there are ways
to feel good in that space.
There are ways to do it to make it feel both like a sanctuary and a gathering place. There are ways to do it. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Like, let's just use some of the obvious ones, okay? Let's just call it the garage. Mm-hmm. In my world, the garage is not an ideal, you know, like man caves, the traditional like garage man cave.
Right. The beer lights. Posters,
I just think that that's
NASCAR.
I don't mind the NASCAR and I don't mind the beer.
All of it.
I just, what I mind is being relegated.
True.
See, this is where I have the issue of relegating dad to the garage. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, the garage for so many of us is both our seasonal dumping ground in the Midwest. It's our place where we unload things from the car. It's also where Jerry Seinfeld says things go to die. Like, it's where your garbage goes before it becomes other people's garbage.
Right.
Like, when it goes to the garage, it almost never comes back into the house. You know, it's a great bit that he does on that. And so to me, the garage feels like a transition to out.
Ah, okay.
Okay.
I can see that.
It feels like a transition to out. So I don't love garages for other than anything. See, I think garages are perfect for the utilitarian support of life for everyone. Not an ideal space for dad.
Right.
Because you have to pass through the garage to get inside the house most of the time. Sometimes that's where you store your extra things, tools, groceries, extra food. Like, it just becomes like, it's not really totally his.
Unless he works on cars.
Well, hold on.
And that's his hobby.
Hold on, I understand. But then also
that's the only one.
But that stuff gets in the way.
Right. That's
See,
true.
That stuff gets in the way, right?
So then
I'm not saying that that this personal space can't be a garage because that's his hobby.
Right.
I think that that's a fantastic idea, but that can also be expensive.
Yes.
Right? That's an expensive hobby too.
Yes.
But all I'm asking right now and all I'm sort of, not asking, but all I'm sort of reflecting on is, why do we have to relegate to the garage? What about the unused space within a home that exists in a lot of homes, in a room that doesn't get used very often, to maybe change the definition of it, mm-hmm. to maybe make it a space that dad can call his own? Now, let's think about that for a minute, right? Like, when we talk about some of these vulnerable conversations that we have about wanting to, like, reinvigorate old passions or want to bring old hobbies from your childhood and sort of reconnect in that way, first, you have to be open to sort of opening up the parts of yourself that you've shelved. And I think when moms have this too. You know, moms have passions that they obviously haven't been able to pursue for a lot of reasons. You know, part of it's just you're raising a family mm-hmm. and you get busy. And then when the kids get older, you can kind of dream and think again, right?
It's called freedom.
Yeah, it's a little bit. Right? So I think that there's this space I want to open up to talk about today about maybe how we just rethink some things in our home that make it more you, and sometimes you centric versus us centric. Because when you are raising a family, it's very easy to get lost. Like, you lose a little bit of your identity, because you have to surrender and give in to the schedule, the support that's needed, and the time, energy, and effort it takes to raise a family successfully.
It's everything for everybody else.
It's really difficult.
Absolutely.
And you do as a mother and as a father, which is our topic today on Father's Day, you lose a little bit of yourself. So how do we get dad to feel more complete? Sometimes that's encouraging him to maybe open up parts of himself that he's had to shelve for a long period of time, mm-hmm. and maybe creating a space or an area to do that. So the whole purpose of today's show is designed for dads is, how do we create a space? Okay, and what does that look like? And I think it doesn't progress on any different design plane than any other room. I just feel like there might be opportunities for us to explore some of the traditional, models out there that would be considered maybe traditional, okay, dad,
right,
inspired or leaning,
right,
interiors. One would be the garage that you mentioned, right, which can be an expensive endeavor. However, your own separate car garage with car lifts, awesome if you can afford to do that.
Right.
Right? I think that one of them is the golf simulators.
Oh. Okay.
You know, the golf simulators, right? I've seen these golf simulators, and we've done these golf simulators, and I've seen multiple ones. But lately, the trend has been to make the golf simulators entertainment spaces. Like, in other words, to broaden.
Right.
You know, what you can do in a golf simulator.
Right.
You know, if you design it right, it has a large screen, it can double as a movie room.
There you go.
Right?
Right.
If your dad's a big movie buff, right, then you can merge styles between not just giving into the golf simulator, but the golf simulator can be merged with other themes. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't just have to be about golf.
Right.
It can be about other things. The downside sometimes is that, like, men get relegated to the garage, they also get relegated to the basement.
Yes.
Okay. So again,
we haven't even talked about the basement.
But here we go.
Right.
This is what I'm saying. Right. So all of a sudden now you're like, well, and I hear this a lot. Well, you can have the basement. Wow. Thank you.
Right.
You can have the garage, or in your case, Nancy, that's a great place up in the attic.
In my defense.
No, I'm not suggesting that your dad needs to be able to put the train in the living room.
It's not
what I'm suggesting.
He said it, and I said, yeah, that'd be a great idea.
Okay,
so
you
this
were supporting
his idea.
I get it. That's the compromise, is the where. I'm not suggesting that we're going to put a trolley around the crown molding.
No.
And that the train's going to go through every one of the rooms.
Although I do get the storage. Although I do get the big closet up there because it's for storage.
Listen, life's all about trade-offs. Okay, so are relationships. So that goes without saying on the show, even though we just said it. But when we come back from the break, I want to take a deeper dive into some of these rooms and some of these traditional rooms and some of the not so traditional rooms where we've been able to create spaces, right, where dads can feel like they've got a space of their own. Designed for dads, right here on Lake 96.1, The Design Coach. Stay tuned. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. We're talking about design for dads. Happy Father's Day, everybody. I'm going to get into some sensitive stuff here the next two segments. And Nancy, this is, I don't know, I'm going to throw it out there because I want to talk about it. And it's my show. So that's how this is going to go down. And I'm a dad. So, you know, and I design. So look at that, right? I have found that I don't like that the design industry, and this is pervasive, right? Like there tends to be a discounting of the male mind and the male opinion on design.
This is true. 100%.
And it is undervalued. It is underexpressed and it is not solicited with, I think, the level of authenticity and frequency that I believe that it should to be able to design successfully for couples, right? Because what matters sometimes in one person's world, it matters differently in another person's world.
Or not at all.
And we're always marrying, like we talked about in previous shows, both what I call the components of the heart and the head, function and finance, with style and beauty. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Function and finance with style and beauty. You got to have both, right?
Right.
You got to have both. And
meet
so
in the middle.
You got to meet in the middle. And so, you know, when you ask, you know, guys their style opinion sometimes, because it's been traditionally undervalued and somewhat discounted, right? There tends to be the answer where most guys and dads feel uncomfortable even expressing how they feel about something is like, well, I don't know. What do you think? Like they know their opinion isn't valued subconsciously. And this has been ingrained, right? So they don't share what really matters to them. Why are you making that face?
Well, if you've asked them and they come back with, I have a beer can collection I want to put around the top of the room.
Yeah, we're
going to
talk about that. You just walked into my design trap.
Perhaps you're not going to get asked again.
Well, here's the problem. So when we talk about it, I think it's incumbent, if you really want to have a substantive conversation about how to create a design space for dad, it comes with a conversation that typically isn't the most comfortable because he's not asked.
Right.
I mean, I can tell you that a lot of people feel this way. I think a lot of dads feel this way. You know, like you're so into the grind, you know? Mm-hmm. And listen, for just a moment, can we just shelve that we're going to talk about moms? We're going to talk about moms, okay? But I'm just saying for today, we're just going to talk about dads.
Right.
And what we're going to say is you know, is his opinion undervalued, right? Is his contribution somewhat overlooked and silent, right? Does he have spaces that he's relegated to, like the garage and the basement, okay, that also then serve as like, you know, multiple other multifunctional areas?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And the answer is unequivocally yes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay.
You're right.
That dads, I would have to say, in my opinion, as a design lead, they get the short end of the stick. My job as we move through the show is to identify the areas where maybe we can change that dynamic. Where maybe we can find places, right, where dad feels very much at home, right?
Right.
And wants to retreat to certain areas and then might want to also then open them up. I will tell you that you mentioned the concept of the den.
Right. It's just always pictured in my head
I love this concept because beyond movie theaters, which are not really for dad, they're really for the family, let's be honest.
Right.
And golf simulators, which are probably for the dad, but not always. They're not always for the dad.
You can make him try to make
him think
it's for
him. A lot of ladies play golf too. Like I'm just saying, like it's not always for dad. It seems to be an entertainment space too. So it's not really solely for him. Mm-hmm. You know, the den seems to be like making a comeback, you know, that one room, and in the open floor plan, it got completely forgotten about, right?
Oh,
it's called the home office.
Right.
Which is way less, like, the last thing dad wants to do necessarily at home is work.
Right. Or listen to a printer in his safe space.
Well, stop calling it a space safely, like he's delicate or something.
No, I think that they do feel
safe
safer.
Space.
I think that they feel safer from, you know.
You're probably not wrong in that, but that's a loaded term, right?
It is,
Right, that makes dad sound weak, and he's not weak
at all.
I mean, a lot of guys that I know, they just need time, you know, and sometimes they just need to center. And where can they do that? You know, it's hard to go to the bedroom and do that. Right, that's another shared space.
Right,
it's hard. They're like, what are you going to go to the basement and the garage to do that? Like, if you really think about what we've done culturally with making those places the primary areas where the male psyche can express design, not good.
Yeah,
not great.
That's true.
And what then? What's next? Well, outdoor grill. Okay, that's a task. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes you don't want to just grill for other people. You know what I'm saying? Like,
this is true.
It seems duplicit. It seems like, he loves making pizzas, so I give him a pizza oven. That's awesome, too, but that's an activity. I'm talking about spaces to retreat, to center, to
from
think.
From all of that.
Yes, right. From all of that.
Right.
I'm not saying that dad can't have spaces that are fun, but most of the time, he's creating fun. It's fun for him, but you're the beneficiary of his fun.
Right. Okay. That's true.
Remember,
for
those of you who
accurate.
Just want to fight me on this today, don't. It's Father's Day, and this is a totally fathers-focused show. But what I'm advocating today is the return of the special spaces like the den, or at least the room off the bedroom, where doors can be closed, and something that doesn't feel so much like an office as it does a retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk about those components. What do you remember about, like, the dens that you remember from your childhood?
Well, my grandpa had a den.
Can you describe it for me?
It had a small love seat in it. It had his recliner. It had his little ashtray stand next to it for his pipe or cigar.
Yeah.
It had a small television in it.
Okay.
And it had a door. a door that he could close if he wanted to. Now, he didn't. Or not when I was there. Maybe when just my grandma was there, because I would completely understand that. But it was just, it was the den. It was his room. We just didn't, when we went in there, and it wasn't always about where it's at. It's about the atmosphere that it creates. If you're going to go in the den and sit with grandpa, you have to be quiet. Oh. This is not talky-talky time. This is not, interaction time. That's what my grandparents used that room for, was exactly what you're saying. His downtime.
Okay. I think that it's really important for the two drivers of the home, the mother and the father, right, to at least have, at least in this scenario is what we're talking about. I do think it's important for them to have spaces where they can retreat. I really believe that. And in most places, it's tilted the other way. You know, the bedroom is my retreat. The primary bedroom is my retreat. Well, is it your retreat, or does he feel really like it's his retreat, right? Can he retreat there as well? I think what happens is when you bring up the beer can analogy, this is the perfect segue into like where we can, no pun intended, the hobbies.
Yeah.
We shut them down. We hate on them rather than realizing that maybe there's something really special about that activity or that beer can collection and why it was collected and what it represents and how nostalgic it might be and what it means to this person at their core. And you're rolling your eyes, but that's exactly the response that these things get, and they should not.
Because he wanted to put it in the downstairs bathroom, his shot glass and beer can collection.
No. Okay. Time out. Is the downstairs bathroom, first of all, it's in the basement. Thank you for making my point.
No.
Oh, this is in the main, floor, in the powder room?
Yeah, the first floor bathroom is going to be a full bath. That's what he wanted to decorate it with, because it's off the kitchen. Well, that's appropriate because it's off the kitchen. No, it is not. This is not the kind. I don't disagree with displaying it, because I do believe that it's got some really classic and valuable stuff in it.
But if you had a collection of, if you had a collection of small porcelain pepper shakers, then it would be fine.
Kitchen. That goes in the kitchen.
I'm just saying. It's beer cans.
I know.
Okay.
It doesn't go in the bathroom.
Okay. I'm not disagreeing with you. What I'm saying is that when these things are brought up, the first impulse on the part of the recipient of the idea on, not dad. And I don't care if it's another dad or a female. Like, I'm accounting for all kinds here.
Partner.
Yes. The first response of the partner is defensiveness. Most of the time.
Eye rolling. I know. I do it all the time. That's sad.
And what that does is you don't understand, for somebody who's already not predisposed to sharing, what that does. And sometimes that's intentional. They know they're shutting it down.
Right.
They do it anyway.
So then they don't have to participate in the rest of it.
Well, because here's what happens. And this is where the design coach steps in. I've done this on any number of occasions. I have literally said to the partner, okay, I have said, hold on a minute. Let's play this out. Let's play out why this collection. And listen, we're just using beer cans as an example. It could be models. It could be books. It could be a book collection. It could be a stamp. I don't care what the collection is or what the passion is. It could be music.
Absolutely.
Okay? It could be lots of things. Let's play out why. Why did you bring that to the forefront? Because clearly it's a deficit within the design of your current space that you want to bring back for some reason. Let's explore that. Guys, please help dad open up. Help dad open up.
That's fair.
Help dad open up to the things that he believes are have made him who he is and why you love him. Okay? And it doesn't mean that you're going to love everything. Okay? God knows this is what I've learned. My kids don't love everything about me.
Nuh-uh.
Okay, but they love me.
Of course.
I know this to be true. I don't ever doubt that. But I know that they don't love everything about me. I'm sure that there are things that they wish that they would change.
I'm sure that you don't love everything about
them. Not a shocker to my dad.
Them.
There's things. Right. There's like, he's not shocked by that. And I don't often think he cares. Yeah. Like, I don't think he gives a shit. Because I think what ends up happening.
That's true.
I think what ends up happening is, and I don't often swear on the air, but that was really funny. I don't think he cares.
Right.
And he doesn't have to.
Right.
Okay. But what I want to get across to everyone today is when something's being shared and you're trying to make something special for someone, you got to hear the idea out. And I think a lot of the design for dads just never gets heard.
True.
And never gets expressed. And then therefore it's never heard, never expressed, and then can never be turned into something interesting. I will tell you, one of the coolest beer can collections I saw was I saw in a contemporary space these vintage beer cans mm-hmm. mounted in white, like white high lacquered frames with a plexiglass box.
Ooh, yeah.
And they were sitting in the plexiglass box that was like a shadow box.
Right.
And you could actually get underneath them and see the bottom of the beer can.
Oh, that's cool.
To see some of the dates and stuff.
Right, right.
It was almost like they had elevated beer cans to museum nostalgia. And that was the vibe. And it was so cool.
Right.
So it wasn't, it's not really about the beer cans, everybody.
It wasn't.
It's not about the collections. It's about how you display them.
That's and where.
The, and that's where the creativity comes in. And you have to be willing to explore that. But you got to let him open up, right? And you got to put him in a place where he can share the things and then you can find a home for it that makes that home feel like home. Okay? When we come back from the break, we're going to go into segment number 4 on designing for dads. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. And happy Father's Day, everybody. We're talking about design for dads. Oh, that's fascinating. I don't know.
What?
I don't know. Segment 3 in the rearview mirror was hilarious. But anyway, welcome to segment number 4 of The Design Coach. So listen, when we talk about allowing dad to open up and share, you know, maybe some of the things about what's maybe lacking
right.
in the home for him.
Right.
Which I think is our topic for today. I think that that's a, you know, as I've said in previous segments and on today's show, you know, I feel like that, you know, sometimes I get shelved. And so I think it's a perfect time for dad to feel special. And in order to do that, I think dad's probably got a lot of good ideas he hasn't shared. I think he's got a lot of good things that he might want to display that might make him feel more at home, and that's the topic for today. And the topic of beer cans came up in collections. Let's talk about hobbies, though.
Okay.
And hobbies that sometimes are just something like music.
Sure.
In the form of Wi-Fi, in the form of high fidelity, you know, stereo systems, or in even instruments, right?
Right.
Whatever,
right.
A record collection, like whatever it might right. be. I will say that this is where getting creative with creating those spaces, like getting creative with creating those spaces is very important. And you have to think multi-purpose.
Right.
We have to not stick to stoic, tired definitions of rooms. You know, there are plenty of guest bedrooms that go underutilized.
Right.
That could very easily be retrofitted with a passion and also serve as a guest bedroom.
Right.
This is where I think it goes wrong. I think guest bedrooms need to be more than just a guest bedroom.
Right.
I think, especially in a primary residence, I think where that you can stray on that is maybe a secondary home or a lake home or a vacation home, because your primary goal there is to be on vacation and outside or doing mm-hmm. something else, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's different. I think it's different, but it's also the reason why a lot of these bedrooms now have hospitality components in them, like wet bars, like refrigeration, right? Like desks, like almost a suite concept with multiple seating areas where you can sit and just watch TV in the bedroom. Okay.
Right.
That has become, you know, and there's this whole mindset about like no bedrooms and no TVs in the bedroom. Like, well, sometimes you don't have a choice. Like sometimes you don't have the amount of square footage where you can afford to do that.
Right.
Right. And sometimes dad's decompression time is TV. But we're hoping it's maybe more than that in the hobbies that have gone shelved and unexplored. Mm-hmm. I think music is another one that I've heard that's very popular. And creating a space in a guest bedroom for the record collection, you can do that in a very cool way.
I mean, the decor.
Yeah, the decor
completely
alone.
Completely reflect. Right, yeah.
Right?
Right.
You can take that shelved record collection and you can pull it out and you can take some of those album covers that are very interesting and nostalgic, and they sell stands for everything from musical instruments for you to display the guitars, for you to display the, you know, the album covers. And you can create really comfortable chairs. I mean, do you remember the Memorex commercials when we were growing up?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
And for those of you who don't know what I'm looking for, go look it up. It's the Memorex commercial. A guy would put his sunglasses on, sit in a black leather chair in front of two speakers, hit play, and the sound coming from the Memorex audio cassette and the speakers, like, blew his hair back.
Right.
So, like, the reason that that resonated as a commercial with so many people is because it's why we retreat to music.
Right.
We want to be affected and blown back in ways that maybe our daily lives that have become so routine and very demanding and over-communicative and sometimes overstimulating. Sometimes we just want the simplicity of just music.
Right, right.
Or a quiet activity. And are we making room for that in our homes? Or are we boxing it up, putting it away, because we haven't done the creative exercise to really think through how we can make it fit?
Right.
You know, we all assume dads are doing okay. And there is a lot of mental health in this. There's a little bit of that. And I think the stress of just the way we live now, Nancy, right?
Absolutely.
I don't know that we know a lot more. We have access to a lot more information. In so many ways, I don't know if we're living longer. I don't know if we're living better.
That's a good point.
I don't know that. All I do know is that our homes can contribute to our mental health in very positive and negative ways if we don't think through them creatively and functionally.
Absolutely.
You know, your house can be your biggest stressor, or it can be one of your biggest lifts. What is your calculus on that?
And honestly,
and where does dad fall into all of that? Like, is dad fixing everything all the time, right? So that he doesn't have any time. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. I think this comes down to something that, just like this show, is way bigger than design. It's about how we're living.
And your house can be a stressor and the thing you look forward to being in the most at the same time.
It can be.
And it goes in waves.
It can be.
Right.
It can be, especially if these days so many people are maintenance adverse. That maintenance adverse posture that we all have with some materials has left interiors feeling cold. And then we wonder why they're not charming and why they don't last.
Right.
And then we wonder why we go to some of these other places where the charm is baked into the materials. And by the way, those materials need maintenance. And then we wonder, we're like, oh, it's so charming here. You know, oh, I love this part of the country because of the architecture and the homes and the this and the that. Well, those homes need maintenance. So when you're putting penitentiary materials that are maintenance free in your Midwestern home and you wonder why it's cold.
No cinder block.
I'm just saying, like what you surround yourself matters.
Yeah.
And gardens need maintenance. And if you don't appreciate fresh flowers, then you should just surround yourself with silk flowers. But there is no substitute for the fresh floral bouquet.
No.
You know?
And there's also no substitute for going out in your garden and getting your hands dirty to make it happen.
I understand that. And I think that's where I think this discussion really comes down to is, you know, if you really want to make a space, and today we're just talking about dads, but I feel like there's a little of dad design neglect going on.
Sure.
In fact, that's the title of the show.
Dad design neglect.
Yeah. Find a space for dad. Okay.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's just not talked about, you know? You know, like, I do love the idea of the library and the den, but what if you're not a reader? Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what if you're like this music thing, you know, I remember when I was growing up, one of the biggest influences on me was the record player and a corner that was in our living room, and I would sit in the corner and I would just listen to like music for hours. And from the chaotic nature of having five kids in a family and a, you know, not a lot of rooms, it was a way for me to retreat. I don't think that as we grow up, that leaves us. I just think we find a way to package it better.
Mm-hmm.
We find a a way to make it sound more mature and socially acceptable. But I don't believe that those passions as a child really ever leave us.
No.
I think we make the calculated decision that they're not valued.
And it's okay to miss, and it's not.
It's not.
No.
It's
you don't not. Have it's, to miss those days.
You don't have to.
No.
And you also don't have to, I think what you don't have to do is you don't have to accept, you know, this is why the trend thing is so damaging to interiors, right? Because it's like, it's so fleeting and fluctuating. I mean, if you go on Instagram right now, you're going to find like five stylists that are telling you right now that beige is in, and then you're going to take five stylists are telling you beige is out.
Right.
You can't build your home that way. You have to build it around you. And in this conversation about, design neglect for dads is really, you know, how are we having really much better conversations about, you know, how valuable he is,
right.
The value that he sees in himself, and maybe how to enrich him.
Right.
Because men are supposed to be tough, and they're not supposed to need that.
And
they're not supposed
feelings.
To need the reinsurance, right. reassurance. And they're not supposed to need any of those things. And the reality is that they do.
Sure.
And that they do need to explore their passions. And sometimes they just want to explore their passions alone because it helps them center and quiet the chaos of the world around them so they can be a better dad. You know, finding that space to just be. Especially as I know for me, as being a creative, I know I need that because I'm one of those classics where I'll go out and I will extrovert like I am on the radio,
mm-hmm.
and then I will pull back because I expend a lot of energy doing it.
To rest. Right.
You know, and I need to pull back. Yes, you in the front.
I do have a question. I raised my hand.
Yes.
One thing you haven't touched on is the fact that when they have a room that has their hobbies. Okay, so for instance, we have that library
sure.
in our house, and I am going to turn that into the, you know, like I said, the bar kind of area, kind of a lounge den type area.
Mm-hmm.
My husband is a huge chess player.
Oh, cool.
So what I envision is a couple of nice leather chairs with
yes.
a beautiful table and a
yes.
beautiful chess, you know, a chess board and nice pieces and stuff. And he's got several chessboards, actually, you know, that included in the room because.
But that's a really,
the other
that's
thing,
a great point.
The other thing is, he wants to share
mm-hmm,
his hobbies,
mm-hmm.
and if he doesn't have a dedicated place to share the hobbies with the children, with the nephews, with the grandchildren, whatever, then it's. I mean, it's this same concept.
But that's where
being neglected.
But that's where you have to get creative of
right.
the functionality of the space.
Right.
Sometimes it's okay to have rooms that have a split personality between
of
him
course
and her, between him and her.
Of course.
Right? And you can blend that.
Mm-hmm.
You can blend all of that together. And especially if you don't have a dedicated room where you can donate an entire room, sometimes you just have to find an area.
Mm-hmm.
But are we really looking at every square foot?
Right.
And are we really looking at the areas where we might be able to accommodate the passions, right?
Yeah.
The hobbies.
Right.
You know, I don't know. I think it's an under-discussed conversation because I do believe that our industry is so female-focused. It is so style-focused. It is so beauty and aesthetic-focused that this gets missed.
And this is 100% function. It functions to settle you. It functions to let you share. It functions...
But if I said to you, you had an aesthetic where it was a record collection and the records were maybe not in the greatest of shape and maybe they weren't worth displaying, but maybe they were. If I said to you, let's put a black crocodile wallpaper on one wall that displays all of your favorite album covers, like high gloss black crocodile.
Right.
Almost looks like a leather accent wall.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you did that one and then you could change those out every now and again.
Sure.
Like to me, there's a way creatively to use design and decoration to enhance and elevate the passion. But you have to put in the effort. You can't just create a space. See, that's not always enough. Sometimes you have to put the thought into the design and the decoration to elevate it, to make it feel special. Today, on this Father's Day, make him feel special. He's worth it. Anyway, thank you for listening. You've been listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Have a good day, everybody. Happy Father's Day. You've been coached.